The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It was a fun day yesterday watching the Saints beat up on the Atlanta Falcons. I mean, the Falcons have just been so hot that, man, if we're going to win a game, it was so nice to beat the Falcons. And did you love Rizzi? Do you love our new interim head coach? I mean, after a couple of plays toward the end of the game, he's hugging players. He's showing emotion as opposed to no emotion at all, an embarrassing loss. Well, we lost. Look, I don't want to mock Dennis Allen, but we've got to make this point. What was it that Mickey Loomis saw in Dennis Allen over Darren Rizzi that caused him to pick Dennis Allen? He had head coaching experience, Dennis Allen did, but it wasn't much. And it wasn't impressive. And Mickey Loomis is a leader. I mean, couldn't he see that demeanor of Dennis Allen? Dennis Allen is not a leader. And I kind of got called out 2 years ago. Well, that was actually last season. Because I was kind of hard on Dennis Allen. Say, it doesn't seem like the players are playing for him. And I got called out as, well, what's this guy doing, you know, who doesn't know, he's not even in the business. He's not even in football. What's he doing talking about this? Well, you know, along with a lot of other people, I was right. Dennis Allen was a problem, and the Saints fired him. But, you know, what we saw yesterday in Rizzi is what the Saints have needed. Now, I don't know if this is a golden rainbow and everything is going to be shiny from this point on. I don't know if the Saints are going to win the rest of their games. But what we saw yesterday was also reflected in the players. What we saw in the coach, the excitement of the coach, we heard that from the players after the game, that they responded to that. They responded to Darren Rizzi's enthusiasm, his passion. And again, I just don't know what... Well, okay, I'm going to be honest. The Saints have been run like a family. Not a business. And I guess it was more appropriate to elevate Dennis Allen, defensive coordinator, over special teams coordinator. Because one is perceptually more important than the other. Although, as Bobby Abears pointed out, John Harbaugh, the coach of the Baltimore Ravens, was a special teams coordinator, like Rizzi. And he's a hell of a head coach. But the Saints are run like a family. And damn it, it's not a family. It's a business. They owe it to the fans to treat it like a business. And it's almost like they want to be nice to people. I think that's a wonderful attribute. I think that's really great. But when it comes down to the best person for the job, you got to go with the best person for the job because it's a business. So anyway, I like what I saw, and I know many of you did too. It was a fun game to watch. It was great that we beat the Falcons, who have been so hot, and so many of those Falcons fans came here. They left disappointed. The Falcons are still in great shape in the division. You know, we're not. We're 3-7. No, that's nothing to brag about, but we're 3-7. And, you know, we could go on a run. It would feel good. I mean, it feels good when your team wins. And so it's going to be interesting to see what the Saints have in store for them. But I feel justified because I wasn't just saying it to say it. And sometimes people in the business, there were sports experts, there were people in the business who sometimes don't even notice things they should notice. And I'm not any kind of football genius, but there's certain things that are obvious to the fans. It may not be obvious to them. So I love the Saints. You know, I've been following the Saints longer than Mickey Loomis has been with the Saints, longer than Gail Benson has owned the Saints, and many of us have been there from the very beginning. And I just think that Dennis Allen was a big mistake. That proved to be the case. And Darren Rizzi seems to be bringing life to the Saints. So we take it from here. And let's just be excited and let's have fun. And let's hope that this rejuvenates the front office and ownership. Let's hope that this rejuvenates everybody and sort of wakes them up to certain realities that they need to face as owners and management of the Saints. But again, the win was great. Now, what about LSU? What in the F happened there? A total and complete failure. A total embarrassment. In Tiger Stadium against Alabama on nationwide television. It was bad. Any hopes that LSU had of getting in the playoffs were drowned out. And LSU drops to 6-3. And it just doesn't seem possible that they're going to be in the playoff picture. And what has happened to Nussmeier? I mean, this guy was so sharp the early part of the season, and it's kind of like he's falling apart. I mean, he's got some good plays, but what's going on with him? It just seems like he's lost some confidence. Or he's trying too hard? I don't know what the answer is. Now, for those of you who are superstitious, what about the caged Bengal tiger that was wheeled into Tiger Stadium for the first time in almost 10 years? This was before the kickoff. This was at the request of Governor Landry. Some might look at this as a bad luck charm, because it certainly didn't bring any luck to the Tigers. Tulane won. Tulane beat Temple. But then again, John Curtis could beat Temple. Anyway, Tulane beats Temple. Tulane's number 25. Tulane's in the top 25. What are they? I think 8-2. So, man, congratulations to the Tulane Green Wave. We'll talk about this. An NFL player was fined because he wore a MAGA hat in a post-game interview. See, I agree with that. And for those of you who say, hey, you know what? We don't want our politicians talking about, not our politicians, we don't want our artists, we don't want musicians, we don't want our musicians, we don't want those people that we go to concerts to go see. We don't want to see them talking about politics. Well, professional athletes are celebrities too. Now, I know a lot of people are happy that he would wear a MAGA hat, but you're a hypocrite if you say it's okay for him to wear a MAGA hat, but it's not okay for Roger Waters to talk about politics from the stage, because this is bringing politics into entertainment. I don't think politics should be part of entertainment. We'll get your opinions on that. So apparently Donald Trump is going to nominate Stephen Miller, promote Stephen Miller to be his deputy chief of staff in charge of policy. This is not a surprise to me, but this is, in my opinion, a horrible human being. Stephen Miller shows every sign of being a racist, misogynistic, and against the LGBTQ community. I mean, this guy, to me, represents the epitome of white supremacy. So let's see how that goes. But I don't think that's good. MSNBC's ratings plummeted after the election. We'll talk about that. Bernie Sanders is asking a really good question. What the hell does the Democratic Party stand for? I don't know. I didn't know during the campaign, did you? I don't think you did. That was one of the big reasons that Kamala Harris lost. Saturday Night Live opened up the show sarcastically, saying to Donald Trump, "We've been with you all along." It was a very interesting opening. And so there is a a communications director who worked for Vice President Kamala Harris during the campaign. He's asking that Joe Biden resign within the next 30 days and allow Kamala Harris to become president until Donald Trump is inaugurated. Do you think that's a good idea? Should she be president? Should Joe Biden resign, giving her a chance to be president for just a brief period of time? What do you think of that idea? We'll talk about that. Maggie Haberman of the New York Times, who really is very accurate with the things that she learns, she told a CNN anchor over the weekend that retribution will be a big part of Donald Trump's selection for attorney general. And if that's the case, then I think that maybe Jeff Landry, our attorney general, might be a really good choice. A Fox News host, interestingly, was raising doubts about the cost and the practicality of Trump's deportation plan. Maria Bartiromo was questioning whether or not it's practical and the cost of it and whether or not it can happen. Well, Donald Trump said it would happen, so I'm assuming that it's going to happen, and I think that's with day one. All right, this is something that could affect me personally. Steve Madden is now cutting its production in China out of fear that Donald Trump will impose tariffs on Steve Madden shoes. Most of my shoes are Steve Madden shoes. This hits close to home for me. We'll talk about the tariffs as well. And, you know, it's Monday. We can talk about whatever you want to talk about. And one thing that we are going to talk about today is Veterans Day. This is the day to honor our veterans, not just those who died, but just those who served. All of you who served in the military are honored today on Veterans Day. It's a federal holiday. People like me are working, which I think is it's a disgrace to our veterans that we're actually working today. We just should have dead air today and not even be on the air for our veterans. Just kidding. Anyway, we are going to honor veterans. And if you're a veteran, I want to talk to you. And it's really good that in modern times, we as a society understand more about what veterans went through. Because PTSD, that's nothing new. That's been around forever. But nobody got treatment for it. Nobody understood. Nobody even recognized it until recently. It's a real thing. And it's really good that we recognize it. We all owe a lot to veterans. And we can talk about that. What do we owe to veterans? And again, this is not just for those who died. This is not just for those who saw wartime experience. This is not just for those who were deployed. This is for all veterans. Those of you who were veterans, even within the United States, the borders of the United States, this is for honoring veterans. And every veteran is owed our thanks because of the freedoms that we have. And I hope that Donald Trump doesn't realistically try to take away any of those freedoms, in particular, freedom of speech, the freedom to speak out against the political opposition. We cannot lose that. If we do, that is an insult to veterans. And as we know, Donald Trump did his fair share of insulting veterans. So not respecting freedom of speech would just be another way Donald Trump disrespected veterans. If you want to join us with a comment, the Open Heart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. 504-260-1870. I'm Scoot on the air. Ian Hoke is our senior producer. Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon to you, too, as well.
Did you have a good weekend?
I did. I spent a lot of time doing some pretty careful introspection. If I can just have a few seconds here just to say that I've really been thinking a lot. And I've really been, I wouldn't call it soul searching, but, you know, just kind of a gut check. And I realized that I might have some opinions about some things that are, you know, not quite adjacent to what most people are thinking. And, you know, sometimes I think I know what people want and I know what they should want and I know what they shouldn't want. And so I've kind of moved the ball down the field a little bit, Scoot. I've changed my mind about something. And I just want to say here that the Kelsey Mix cereal
yes.
is actually pretty good.
Really?
Yeah, I know I said on Friday that it was psychotically bad and I wasn't going to finish the box, but I had like four more bowls of the Kelsey Mix cereal over the weekend, and it's really actually pretty good. It's Reese's Puffs, Lucky Charms, and Cinnamon Toast Crunch all mixed up in one box, and it slaps. It's really good cereal. And I'm sorry for what I said. If I made anybody feel badly about what they want in a cereal, we're all here to do what we're all here to do, man. I didn't mean to yuck your yum. I've come... full 180 on the Kelsey Mix cereal, and I will be buying it again in the future.
Honestly, I think it's okay if you don't like the cereal. But if you like it, now you're honest about it, I think that's okay. But when you spoke earlier, you didn't like it. I came face-to-face with a box of that at Rouse's over the weekend.
What did you think about what I told you on Friday?
Yes, I just turned, and it was like right. It was within 6 inches of my face.
Yeah.
I just kind of
stepped
back a little bit.
Yeah, you never know it's going to pop out of
you. Kind of a kiosk in the aisle, and I just turned, and it was there.
Yeah.
And I looked at the three cereals, and I don't like any one of them individually. I'm certainly not going to like all of them together. That's just not my deal. If it's your deal and you like it, God bless America.
Yeah, there's plenty to go around. Yeah. You know, there's other things that we can probably meet in the middle on if we're out of sync on the cereal thing. But I want to apologize to the Kelsey brothers and to General Mills on Veterans Day, of all places. I just want to apologize.
All right, but here's the deal. Just don't force me to eat it. You know, don't force me to like it. I meant just society in general. You know, that's the deal. I mean, you know, whether it's a politician or a breakfast cereal, you know, you shouldn't force people to like something. If you like it, that's okay. If somebody else doesn't like it, this is America. Respect their right not to like it. Respect their right to not eat it. Respect their right not to buy it. So, you know, again, it's all about respect. All right. If you want to join us, the Open Heart Jewelers Talk and Text is 504-260-1870. We'll get to some of your calls and text messages are coming up. We're celebrating the Saints' victory over the Falcons. It sure felt good. Maybe a little bit too late, but it was still a victory and it is still worth celebrating. And, you know, I got to tell you right now, I think the Saints are in a cool position. You know, I really do. And, wow, you know, Alvin Kamara. Okay, look, Alvin, incredible game. Broke the all-time rushing record as a New Orleans Saint, but dropped the pass.
You got to catch those, Alvin.
You got to catch those. And then the honey badger, who was the honey bun through the whole game, nice and warm and soft. And have you noticed how Tyrann Mathieu slows down when he gets close? If somebody is about to be tackled, he slows down. He doesn't go in for the hit. He slows down and lets the other person tackle him. But then again, he came up with a great interception. So that was cool. And Cam Jordan got his first sack of the season. 10 games in, like 8 minutes left in the third quarter. Finally, Cam got a sack. Anyway, it felt really good. We'll talk about that too. I'm Scoot, and we'll be right back on this Manic Monday on WWL. Well, let's go ahead and dedicate this song to the LSU Tigers. I mean, this is about the nicest thing you can say about the game Saturday night at Tiger Stadium. Really, and is it just me, or is Garrett Nussmeier, is he showing signs of falling apart? It just seems like he was sharper earlier in the season, and I'm not really sure what has happened. I mean, are teams learning his patterns better? Or is he just throwing more interceptions or throwing more, you know, bad passes? I mean, I feel badly for the guy because he was like just such a bright spot, and now he doesn't seem to be that bright in terms of his passing. It is Veterans Day. We're celebrating that today. I'm Scoot on the air. Let's go to Ian with some of your early text messages, and then I'm going to get right to your phone calls.
Sure. Here's a text that says, hey, Scoot, this is Paul from Covington. The real downfall for Dennis Allen was when he did not argue for Chris Olave the first time he got hammered in the head. No call, no targeting, when it clearly was. The players felt alienated for that one. Big time. And he never even questioned the hit. That was a big, big time screw up.
Dennis Allen was very weak as a head coach. And, you know, I hadn't thought about that specific moment, but I can understand how that would have been a problem. But I think Dennis Allen was weak last year. I thought he was weak the season before that. I just don't think he's head coach material. And I don't know what I don't know what Mickey Loomis saw in him to promote him to head coach, other than, oh, well, this is the safe thing. He's the defensive coordinator. I guess he's sort of next in line. He's had head coaching experience, so let's promote him. You know, again, the Saints have been treated like a family, not a business, and I think that's one of the reasons why we've only won one Super Bowl.
In regard to those fighting Tigers, here's a text that says, LSU lost because of the caged Bengal tiger. Thanks, Governor Landry, idiot.
It's a curse!
Man.
It was never a good idea. The animal kingdom retaliated, including those red elephants from Alabama. They've retaliated. It was just a horrible, horrible night at Tiger Stadium.
Yeah, Texter goes on to say, hey, maybe next game LSU should try two caged Tigers. Sheesh. Here's a text about Stephen Miller, a.k.a. Dracula. It says, lay off Stephen Miller. Your hatred for him is so wrong. He is admired by President Trump and is a great choice for Deputy Chief of Staff.
Okay, so this is America. We disagree. I think he's a pathetic human being. I don't like what he stands for. I don't like what he says. I don't know how much you know about Stephen Miller, but, you know, I mean, I think he is a classic prototype of a white supremacist. And he has said a lot of things that show empathy toward white supremacy.
If your argument for Stephen Miller is that he is admired by President Trump, that's a pretty short leap there, friend. Like, if you don't know anything else about Stephen Miller, okay, but if you just think, oh, he's admired by President Trump, so he must be a good person, that's not really using your big boy brain. I would also offer, if you don't know anything else about Stephen Miller, let's just remember this. In addition to all the very much white supremacist things he's had to say over the years, he was the chief architect of the child separation policy, which broke up families at the border. And I know there's people listening that think, you know, F those people. They're on their way here to leech off our hospitals and schools and whatever. But for you to be the person who put in place a policy that separates small children from their parents at the borders and then ships them into the interior of the country and loses track of those children, so that even if their parents are back in Venezuela or Honduras or whatever, their kids are gone forever. They did not do good paperwork there, and they literally lost an untold number of migrant children. That is monstrous.
You have to be a cold-hearted MF-er to do that. I mean, cold-hearted.
That's gross.
And cold-hearted is really the best way to describe Stephen Miller. So again, have your opinion of him, but I hope you know something about him before you say that.
In regard to our comments about the Kelsey Mix cereal, some people are texting in about that. I'll just leave you with this one. Soothsayer Sam says, yeah, well, Dr. Pepper Creamy Coconut is still just bone nasty. Soothsayer Sam, you trying to get banned over here, man? You trying to get blocked with that bad take about Dr. Pepper Creamy Coconut?
You know,
don't think I won't do it.
When it comes to cereal, just give me Rice Chex. Just give me Wheat Chex.
Wheat Chex.
You know, give me Rice Krispies. Snap, crackle, and pop. And they really do talk to you.
Tell me you put some sugar on that, at least.
A little sugar. Of course I do.
Just a spoonful of sugar.
Yeah, but I'm not crazy about the sugar cereals, although I don't have anything against sugar. But, you know, just give me the basic cereal. I'll put the amount of sugar on it that I want. I like it a little bit soggy. I like the cereal to get just a little bit soggy before I crunch into it.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. All right.
All right.
More on Kelsey McCereal later.
And you'll only hear it on this show.
That's right.
All right, let's go to Kathy in LaPlace. Kathy, you're on WWL. Happy Monday.
So you are exactly right. Stephen Miller is such a fascist. They not only did they separate those children, they also gave women hysterectomies for no reason. And when they found out, they shipped all of them back to Mexico. And a lot of these women didn't go with their children because they took them away from them. But this is what I want to say. America, a lot of Americans sold their democracy for, I feel like this, a gallon of gas, a loaf of bread, and a gallon of milk. If you can't afford those things, then you should have went and got off food stamps. Because losing your democracy is going to be devastating. And number two, what I want to say is these tariffs, people got it all twisted up. If you are buying a $3 shirt from China under Biden, you are probably taking that $3 shirt and you probably selling it for $10 or $15. But under President Trump's tariffs, your $3 shirt is going to probably turn into $5 to $6, which means you're going to sell it to the consumer for a lot more. So if your company is hit by these tariffs, guess what's going to happen to your jobs? Some of y'all going to get laid off. Some of y'all probably won't get a Christmas bonus. And just taking 11 million people out of the United States is going to hit us like bricks, because these people, they are here working, and a lot of them are staying in hotels, motels. They're buying food out of the restaurants. They are buying food out of the grocery stores, the Walmart. We're going to lose all that money.
You know, Kathy, yeah, there is a lot to come with these campaign promises being fulfilled. There's a lot to come. And, you know, I'm going to take a picture of I'm wearing a pair of Steve Madden boots. Again, most of my shoes are from Steve Madden. I like most of the styles. The fit is good. I'm wearing a pair of Steve Madden boots today. They cost about $150. Now, how much are these boots going to cost if Steve Madden moves some of the production out of China? They're going to move it to other countries at this point. But if Donald Trump puts these tariffs on some of these products, some of what we pay, some of these items are going to cost a lot more than they cost now. Now, look, fair tariffs are fair. But the exaggerated tariffs that Donald Trump is proposing is going to create another wave of another kind of inflation. And I wonder how much these boots are going to cost if the tariffs are in place. So anyway, I'll take a picture and I'll post it on my Facebook page. I mean, they're really nice boots, but I mean, $150, I don't want to pay more than that. All right, if you're on hold, stay with us. We're also talking about the Saints' victory, and today is Veterans Day. If you're a veteran, I would love to talk to you and thank you for what you have done for our country. And again, we're celebrating all veterans, not just those who died, but all those who have served and are serving in our military. Even if you've never been deployed, Veterans Day is for you. I'm Scoot on the air, and the Oakenheart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. 504-260-1870. More of your calls, more of your texts coming up next on WWL. All right, America has spoken. Donald Trump is the president-elect. He will be inaugurated January 20th of next year, and we'll see what happens. If Donald Trump lowers inflation and I've got more money to spend on me or what I want to spend it on, I'm happy. I will thank him for that. If Donald Trump solves the problem at the border, I will thank him for that publicly on the air. If Donald Trump takes care of all the problems that he says he's going to take care of, I'm going to thank him. I'm a little nervous and concerned about infringement on freedom of speech, because Donald Trump made it known during the campaign that he was going to do what he could to retaliate against people who disagree with him. And he referred to Democrats and people who disagree with him as the enemy from within. People who disagree with Donald Trump are not the enemy from within. That's something reserved for a whole different category of people in America, but not people who disagree politically. So let's see. Maybe that was just a bunch of brazen BS on the campaign trail, and maybe he's not going to really do it. But, you know, we're going to be watching that. Let's get back to some of your calls. We're also talking about the Saints' victory and Veterans Day. Charles is in Baton Rouge. Hey, Charles, welcome to the show. Hello, Charles. Charles, let's see. Let's try this one more time. Charles, can you hear me? Charles, we have a really, really bad connection. Let's see if it clears up or call us back. Let's go to Joe in Metairie. Hey, Joe.
Yeah, good evening, Scoot. I'm going to start off with my ex-friend, Michael, who's been calling in for 6 months, being I knew for 50 years. He kissed Hillary Clinton's butt so much that his face was red like a baboon's butt. He did the same thing with Kamala. saying how great she was.
All right, Joe, let me remind you.
Wait a second, Joe.
Are you just going to call up here and bitch and complain about things even after you won the election? Because I don't want to hear it. I mean,
no,
are you going to do nothing but
complaining? I want this Michael who you let rant for 5 minutes at the time.
Well, so what? He has a right to. You rant too. You rant too. So what? He's got a right to do it. You've got a right to talk. He's got a right to say everything that he said.
Well, I got a right to say it too.
Only if we let you. You don't have a right to be on this show.
Well, that's how biased you are.
You're damn right. We're biased against ignorance. And if you want to say something that is part of the conversation without just being mean and hateful, then you say it. But you don't have to be ugly and hateful about it. We don't have to let everybody on. We let people on who we want to let on. That's the way the conservative shows do it. That's the way we do it, too. This is America, Joe.
Don't forget, this is America. You hadn't been fair with me, I can tell you that.
Joe, you said plenty, and we let you on again. If we wanted to cut you off, we would have shut you down a long time ago, dude.
Yeah, you the dude.
Say what you want to say, Joe. Say what you want to say.
You a phony.
All right, Joe.
You a phony.
All right, Joe.
Jennifer Van Ranken ought to be coming after your ass.
You know what? She loved what I did with her. She loved it. I saw her in person, and she thanked me for it. She loved it, Joe. She loved it, Joe. She loved it. Joe, you don't have a right to come on this show. Nobody has a right to come on any show. It's up to the show whether we let you on. And I let a hell of a lot of people on who disagree. Not every show does that. We do that. But you don't have to be ugly and talk about the redness of a baboon's ass. You don't have to be mean and hateful after you win the election. You must be one bitter MF-er. I mean bitter. I mean, I would not want to be you. I mean, one of the worst things in the world would be to be reincarnated like somebody like you. I mean, some people are just miserable SOBs. Well, you don't have to be a miserable SOB on this show. The Saints won. Joe, his candidate won the election, and he's nothing but bitter, vividly describing the redness of a baboon's ass. Joe, it's really interesting that you have such a vivid memory of that. Do you like a baboon's ass? Is that what it is, Joe? And we've been plenty fair to you, but you don't need to call up and be hateful.
You don't get to use this show just to single out one other listener that you don't like and insult them. Like, if you're going to be ugly like that, just go on Facebook where it's okay to be ugly, or go in the Nazi toilet on Twitter and do whatever you want. But you're not going to use this show to do that.
Yeah, and look, I am very content with the way we run this show and the people that we let on who disagree with me. But there's a limit. You know, with Janice, it's like, don't call up with bogus stuff. You know, it's not that we don't like your opinion. It's that we don't like stuff that's not true. Stuff that comes from bogus websites that aren't true. Fox News got into a hell of a lot of trouble lying. We're not going to lie on this show. And you just don't have to be a bitter person, man, especially after you win the election. I mean, I feel sorry for people like Joe. And Joe is not alone. There are other people like him. But, boy, I would sure hate to be living in their skin. Let's go to Herman in Baton Rouge. Hey, Herman. Oh, I'm sorry. We got to go back to Charles. Hey, Charles, welcome.
Hey, you got me this time, I hope?
I got you, yes.
All right. Once again, my provider fails us when you need it most. Good morning, Vietnam, 1969, November the 11th, when I was in country about 2 weeks, I heard that on the radio and say, where am I? I thought I just left the world, but I guess I'm not there anymore.
Yeah.
Anyway, I appreciate your kind words this morning about me and my fellow veterans. It's, you know, time I think people take a little bit and think about that, but go to the lighter side, Saints and LSU. Mrs. Benson saw to it that Coach Allen left the team because Mr. Loomis seems to have the inability to hire good coaches. And if you really look back at his history, you kind of look at that. Same way with LSU. Mr. Kelly did not have a sterling reputation up at Notre Dame, and they were really kind of glad to see him go. And the evidence of his inability to coach is his second loss to an SEC team. He never played one at Notre Dame. So he's learning the hard way that you got to come up here knowing something about football. And I don't think he does. And I think LSU's management, Mr. Woodard, also has some responsibility for that $95 million contract that they are wed to.
Yeah, because he's set. Deep down inside, Brian Kelly's got to know that he's set. I mean, if they fire him, he is set. So when you are set in life, when you are guaranteed money in life, how motivated are you really? I can't speak for Brian Kelly, but I can speak for a lot of people who I don't think would be totally motivated if they knew they were financially set, that they didn't really have to succeed, they really didn't have to work, that even if they got fired, they would be financially set. One of the things that motivates me and motivates a lot of us is that we need to get paid. And we care about being paid because we need it. And we do the best we can every day because we work for our checks.
Unfortunately, I think that's happening with professional and now college ball. NIL is going to be the end of college football as we used to know it.
Yeah, I hope not. But, you know, a lot of people have said that. Charles, I appreciate the call. If you're on hold, stay with us. We'll get to more of your calls coming up in the next hour. All right, on the Scoot on the Air Rock Culture Calendar. This is kind of amazing to me. On this day in 1957, Sun Records released Great Balls of Fire by Jerry Lee Lewis. It was his biggest hit. It reached number 2 on the Billboard Hot 100 chart, number 3 on the R&B chart, and it was number 1 on what at the time was the country and western chart. Yeah, it used to be country and western music. Now it's just country music. But the song did well on all of those charts, reaching number 1 on the country and western chart. I'm Scoot, and we'll be right back on WWL. It was yesterday, but I wanted to mention it since we weren't on the air yesterday. Yesterday was the day in 2015 that the great Alan Toussaint passed away at the age of 77. He died while on tour in Madrid, Spain. He wrote Mother-in-Law, Fortune Teller, Ride Your Pony, Working on a Coal Mine, Here Come the Girls, Yes We Can, and this song, Southern Nights, which was a huge hit for Glenn Miller. Yesterday was the day we lost a great one, Alan Toussaint. And to Joe, the caller we had just a moment ago, Joe, you think you're such a great voice for your cause. You should see the texts we're getting about people thanking me for shutting you down. I'm Scoot on the Air. We'll be right back on WWL.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first 3 orders. Service fees and terms apply.
For the past 3 seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a 4th season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, you know the attitude around here on Mondays. It's not just a depressing Monday. You know, I know it's kind of exciting that the Saints won, but, you know, sometimes you're down on a Monday. You know, the weekend was nice and you got a long week ahead of you. Some people get down on Mondays, but we don't want that to happen, man. We want Monday to be a day that you live life. And think about the recent passing of Eric Paulson. You know, you don't know. So live every day. Even live Mondays, even though they might seem kind of boring, just have a better attitude and make it a good day. Because the only thing that makes Monday boring is your attitude. So just try to have a good attitude on a Monday. I'm Scoot on the Air. Glad you are with us. Yes, the Saints won. The LSU didn't. Tulane won. Tulane's in the top 25, 8-2, at number 25 in the country. And there were some real upsets. I loved watching Ole Miss beat Georgia. Ole Miss is 8-2, number 10 in the country. Georgia dropped to number 11. And Georgia Tech beat Miami. That kicked butt. I don't know why. I just don't like Miami. Miami 9-1 now. They were undefeated before. Indiana remains undefeated. They beat Michigan 20-15. Penn State beat Washington 8-1. Penn State's number 4 in the country. You know, I would love to be the team that plays Penn State in the playoffs because I don't think Penn State can win the big game. I don't know what it is about that team, but they just can't seem to win the big game. Texas number 3, they won. Ohio State beat Purdue. They're number 2. Oregon continues to be undefeated, 10-0. They beat Maryland over the weekend. Tennessee won. They're 8-1, number 6 in the country. And BYU, undefeated, 9-0. They beat Utah. Big rivalry there, 22-21. And I'm surprised. So BYU is number 7 in the country. I said this the other day. I'm surprised that BYU doesn't consistently do better because their players collectively are older than the other college players. Because the BYU students, you know, Mormons, they give up like 2 years of their life to do missionary work. So they enter college later. So BYU's football team is generally 2 years older than the teams that they're playing. So I'm kind of surprised that, you know, being older, that maybe they don't, I'm surprised they don't have a better team more often. Boise State is there, 8-1, number 13. So, yeah, I think the college playoffs coming up are going to be exciting. And what about that Sunday night game last night? Wow, that was awesome. Detroit came back to beat the Texans 26-23. The Texans looked like they were just wiping the field with the Lions. And the Lions came back and won it 26-23. The Eagles beat the Cowboys 34-6. I would hate to be in Jerry's house right now. And the Cardinals beat the Jets 31-6. And Jets fans are telling Aaron Rodgers to retire. You know, Aaron Rodgers became kind of an a-hole with politics and everything. And so, you know, if he kind of goes down in flames, I don't care. I'm okay with that. A great quarterback. He'll be in the Hall of Fame, but I'm okay if he goes down in flames. And the 49ers beat the Bucs 23-20. So there were some really big games. I'm not sad when Sean Payton and the Broncos lose and the Chiefs beat them. It was a wild game, but the Chiefs beat the Broncos 16-14 yesterday. And this was another huge game. The Ravens beat the Bengals 35-34. So some exciting games. The most exciting game was the Saints game because the Saints won it. I'm Scoot on the air. It's Manic Monday. We've got a lot to talk about. If you're on hold, stay with us. It's also Veterans Day. If you want us to give a shout out to a veteran in your life, or to you if you're a veteran, just give us the name and the branch of the military, maybe the years that they were in, whatever information you want to give us. Why don't you just text us that information, and we're going to do some shout outs to some veterans today. The Open Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. Just send us a text, 504-260-1870. 504-260-1870. And also, we have more bumper music scheduled for Veterans Day today. All right, so for the first in what is sure to be one of the more controversial appointments in the Trump White House was announced earlier this morning.
An immigration hardliner who served as a White House aide in the 2016 term has been appointed to a new position in the new Trump administration.
Send the illegals back home.
Stephen Miller will be Donald Trump's deputy chief of policy. Miller was a central figure in previous policy decisions, including the separation of migrant children from their families in 2018. Campaigning with Trump in Colorado last month, Miller blamed the Democrats for an influx.
We don't need migrants consuming and depleting our public resources, overwhelming our public schools, overwhelming our hospitals, taking over our apartment buildings, and yes, murdering innocent Americans.
Since leaving the White House in 2021, Miller led the America First legal organization. I'm Jackie Quinn.
Yeah, Stephen Miller is the poster boy for white supremacy. We never have to worry, ever have to worry about him having a heart attack because he doesn't have one. President-elect Donald Trump also named his border czar.
President-elect Donald Trump has named Tom Homan as the border czar in Trump's incoming administration. Homan served as acting U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement Director in Trump's previous administration. Trump has pledged to launch the largest deportation operation in U.S. history. He wrote on his Truth Social site on Sunday that in addition to Homan's overseeing the southern and northern borders and maritime and aviation security, he'll be in charge of, quote, all deportation of illegal aliens back to the country of origin, end quote. In an interview on Fox News Channel, Homan said the military would not be rounding up and arresting people in the U.S. illegally, but that ICE would move to implement Trump's plans in a, quote, humane manner, end quote. I'm Donna Water.
And for the record, contrary to what conservative media convinced many of you of, the country has never had a border czar. The media nicknamed Kamala Harris border czar when President Biden put her in touch with or in charge of going to other countries and finding out what it would take to make things better there so they all don't feel the need to come here. But she was never appointed border czar, and there has never been a border czar that I know of until now. We just want to set the record straight on that. Also, President-elect Donald Trump has also named his pick for U.N. ambassador.
President-elect Trump makes his pick for U.N. ambassador, calling her a smart America first fighter. President-elect Trump has picked a New York congresswoman to serve as his ambassador to the United Nations. It's Elise Stefanik, who spoke at the GOP convention this summer in Milwaukee.
It is clear for the whole world to see nothing. Absolutely nothing will stop President Trump from standing and fighting for our great country.
Stefanik, who's 40, has long been one of Trump's most loyal allies in the House and was among those discussed as a potential vice presidential choice. I'm Shelley Adler.
And also, Republican leaders are ready to help Donald Trump hit the ground running.
Donald Trump and legislative leaders are getting ready for his first day in office.
On day one, I will launch the largest deportation program in American history.
On the campaign trail, Donald Trump suggested using executive orders to remove migrants in the country without authorization. Republican Senator John Barrasso on NBC's Meet the Press says that's among the top priorities.
The high costs and the open border, and those are the things we're going to start working on immediately.
Government staffing and spending cuts are also on the agenda.
We continue to spend too much. The government is too big. Yeah. It does too much.
Trump is pressuring Republican Senate leaders to change the rules to allow him to appoint some nominees without Senate confirmation. Ooh. I'm Jackie Quinn.
Oh, that's kind of scary.
Not super Democratic,
that
is it?
That is kind of scary.
Now, look,
yeah.
They're talking about recess appointments, which happen, you know, yeah, with every administration. But what he's asking for is all recess appoints him. He does not want to have to, anybody in his cabinet, his judges, he doesn't want them to have to get Senate approval at all. He's asking for permission to do the entire thing without Senate approval.
And let me mention, that is more fascism than it is democracy. Just wanted to mention that. Donald Trump's criminal charges in the election interference and insurrection case and the Classified Documents Espionage Act Obstruction of Justice case, they're on their last legs and headed for the dustbin of history.
U.S. District Judge Tanya Chutkan has canceled any remaining court deadlines in Donald Trump's 2020 election interference case. This comes after prosecutors said they need time to assess the appropriate course. The Supreme Court sent the case back to Chutkan to determine which of the allegations in the indictment can move forward. A person familiar with the matter told the Associated Press that given Trump's presidential victory and the Justice Department's policy that sitting presidents can't be prosecuted, Jack Smith's team are winding down the case and the stalled classified documents case under appeal in Florida. Trump has criticized both cases as politically motivated and has said he would fire Jack Smith within 2 seconds of taking office. Judge Chutkan ordered prosecutors to file with their proposed course by December 2nd. Jennifer King, Washington.
Biden and Harris are going to appear together for the first time since Trump's blowout victory that left the Democrats in the White House saying WTF.
President Joe Biden was at Arlington National Cemetery for the annual Veterans Day observance.
It's been the greatest honor of my life.
President Joe Biden speaking for the last time as Commander-in-Chief on Veterans Day at Arlington National Cemetery.
We stand here today, we think about all that our veterans have given to our nation, serving and sacrificing in uniform, just as they serve and sacrifice here at home.
And he had this message for military families.
Jill and I want you to know we see you, we thank you, and we'll never stop working to meet our sacred obligation to you and your family.
I'm Shelley Adler.
On Meet the Press over the weekend, Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders says the election shows that the Democratic Party failed to address the concerns of most American voters.
They have a right to be angry. in the richest country in the history of the world. Today, the people on top are doing phenomenally well, while 60% of Americans are living paycheck to paycheck, and millions of families worry that their kids are actually going to have a lower standard of living than they do.
The control of the U.S. Congress is still hanging in the balance.
The vote tallies aren't completed yet from last week's election, leaving it unclear which party will control Congress. More than a dozen congressional campaign contests are still not decided, leaving control of the House of Representatives a toss-up at this point. Republican leaders are projecting they will keep control, but Democrats say if more votes go in their favor, they could become the majority party. Republicans did win control of the Senate, and Republican Donald Trump will be in the White House next year. He's urging the senators vying for majority leader to change the rules and allow him to bypass congressional approval and outright appoint some of his nominees. I'm Jackie Quinn.
And that's it for Scoot's News Briefs on Monday, November the 11th, 2024. So should Joe Biden resign, like now, and make Kamala Harris the president until Donald Trump becomes inaugurated January 20th? Joe Biden could resign and Kamala Harris could be president for a brief period of time. She would be the first woman to ever be president, the first woman of color ever to be president. Is that a good idea? Jamal Simmons, former Vice President Kamala Harris's communications director, is calling on Joe Biden to resign and make Kamala Harris president within the next month. He said that on the State of the Union on CNN yesterday morning. So what do you think about that idea? Kamala Harris would just end up being president. At least it would give her a chance to be president for a brief period of time. I think that's a terrible idea. A terrible idea. It feeds into the concept of entitlement. She didn't win. I'm sorry for those of you who supported her, but she didn't win. And she doesn't deserve to be president, even for a month. She didn't win. She doesn't deserve it. And this would be a mockery of the election if Joe Biden resigned, and let Kamala Harris be president for a month or so. All right, if you want to join us with a comment, the Oaken Heart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. We're coming back with more of your calls and more of your text. And we're also remembering all of the veterans today on Veterans Day. And if you want us to shout out to a veteran, just give us the name and the branch of the military. If you want to give us any more information, do that. We're going to do some shout outs to veterans today on Veterans Day. This was an interesting song, and this is one of those songs that I remember hearing on my transistor radio walking around the mean streets of Metairie when I was a young teenager. This was a song that was on the radio quite often. It's a song about a woman singing to her boyfriend who's in the military, and the song is about how she's going to be faithful to him all the time that he's away in the military. The Shirelles had many hits. This was one of their big hits from the 60s, Soldier Boy, about being faithful to somebody who's in the military. I'm Scoot, and we'll be right back on WWL. Hey, how about that Rizzy? How about that Rizzy? How about the passion? How about a head coach that shows emotion and passion? Wow, what a change. Did you see Rizzy react to the players? Did you see the players react to Rizzy? And the players were talking about this afterwards. The very thing that I've been talking about on this show concerning the calm demeanor of Dennis Allen, the players were saying that this is what Rizzy brought to the team, this excitement, this enthusiasm, this passion, this emotion. That's something that's been missing, and the players were not reacting to Dennis Allen. They reacted to Rizzy. Now, look, Rizzy's not going to necessarily go undefeated the rest of the season. I hope he does. Cleveland's up next. They're a talented team, but you know, Alvin, as great a game as you had, you got to catch that pass. Cam Jordan got his first sack. 10 games into the season, 8 games left in the third quarter. 8 minutes left in the third quarter, he got his first sack of the season. Tyrann Mathieu, who had been the honey bun all game, he didn't want to really tackle anybody. Comes up with a great, great interception. So there were some really positive things. All right. Before we get to your calls and texts, we've got to get to some of these text shout outs to veterans today on Veterans Day. Ian Hoke has got a few to share with you.
There are a lot of them. And so I don't mean to rush through these because I know these are important to people. But we do have to watch the clock. So I might kind of snip a few words out of these texts just to get the names out there. And I don't mean any offense to anybody. Here's Colonel Philip Teeler, Desert Storm, Staff Sergeant Christopher Wilbur, KIA in Afghanistan. My aunt, Ruby June Brackett, was a wave in the Navy. Warren Smoky Muntz, U.S. Army 81st. Warren Muntz, born and raised in La Place. Gordon Walsdorf, Shipmate 3 class on the USS Franklin D. Roosevelt in the Navy. My father, Sergeant Billy Ortiz, Vietnam veteran, lost him 4 years ago. He was 82 years old. My hero, Oscar from the North Shore. Bobby Guillory, Vietnam, 1967-1995, U.S. Air Force. My son, Evan Eaton, U.S. Army, 2007-2013, in Mosul, returned safely home and got a bachelor's degree from Tulane. He's a successful Amazon executive. Thank you, Evan Eaton. My dad, Serino J. Urata, U.S. Navy veteran. He is 92 years old today. Corporal Casey Jones, USMC, 2006-2010, Camp Lejeune. I had the same job as J.D. Vance, combat correspondent. Cool. Let's see. Chris Tarritico, Frank Tarritico, Ron Cagle, Robert Caillou, James Miller, Ron Howard, Ron Fantano. And I'll just get a couple more of these. Yes, our friend PJ is listening today. He says, thank you for recognizing veterans with or without combat service. My wife and I are both vets, 31 years, still surfing. Serving, I should say. Lori's been in the Air Force 4 years. Thank you for your support. Herschel Blanchard, World War II, 98 years, alive and well. Thank you, Herschel. Jim Mendoza, Vietnam, 1964 to 1965 in the Marines. My dad, Royal G. Ori, in the Korean War. Served 2 years, two more in the reserves, was a medic, passed in 2015. Salute. I will leave you with this one right now, Scoot. Hi, Scoot. Love you. Here's my tribute to all veterans on this special day. My husband, Jim, died on active duty 24 years ago. I am still so honored to sing for this and him and all military veterans and their families.
I'm glad we got to mention so many names. Really good job with that, Ian. And thank you all for sending those in. And I want to I want to say a tribute to my dad, Lieutenant Ken Paysant, U.S. Navy pilot. Got his wings in Pensacola and was in the Navy Reserve flying out of Belchase Naval Air Station.
If you didn't hear, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. I was just going to say, if you didn't hear your shout out just now, be rest assured, I have it pulled aside and we will read it later.
Okay, let's go to Terry in Slidell. Terry, welcome to the show. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Scoot. How you doing?
Good.
Can you hear me, Scoot?
Yes.
Yeah, I'd like to shout out for my father-in-law, Mr. Ulis Melanson. He was in World War II. He was the He was at Omaha Beach, and my daddy was in Walter R. Fontenette was at Ewo.
So cool.
That's a shout out. They're not here anymore, but they were both in World War II.
Cool.
My question is this: I want to hear how can you these people answer? How are you losing your democracy? First of all, if you don't like who's in office in 2 years, you vote them out. In 4 years, you vote out the president, and the new president will be in 4 years because Trump is going to have to go because, you know, he's term limited. And even his own party is not going to let him go past 4 years. And if he did, I voted for him, and I will not vote. I mean, I will be protest against that also. And if you don't like the senators, you vote them out in 6 years. Well, in Louisiana, whoever got elected this time as a representative, in 2 years, hey, they're going to be back in office again because they ain't going to get voted out because it's going to be the same people. In Orleans Parish and that, they're going to vote for Troy, whatever his name, you know, the guy from in his district. Nobody's going to vote out Steve Scalise in my district.
Right, right.
Nobody's going to vote out Cleo Fields in his district. It's the same. You're not losing. How are you losing your democracy? If you don't like who won, then in 4 years you vote somebody else in.
Well,
Joe Biden, we didn't like Joe Biden, and they voted somebody else in. How are you losing your democracy? Even his own
well, we're not.
Party,
we haven't
his own vote.
We haven't.
Ahead, I'm sorry.
No, we haven't lost it yet. You know, we kind of throw words around. You know, we're not truly a democracy. We're a democratic republic. I guess you could say we're a republic. Okay, but we have. You know, democracy is our form of government. It's sort of translated from republic to democracy. We all know what that means. We have freedoms. And so I think a lot of times people relate democracy with the word freedom. And we might lose our freedom. We might not lose democracy. But if we lose freedom, then I think we lose a form of democracy. And I'm curious and I'm concerned. I'm not going to, you know, get upset about it until it happens. But I'm concerned that Donald Trump may follow through on retaliating against people who simply disagree with him and might use the FCC to do it. And that would be just a total threat to our freedom and our republic form of government.
Isn't that what Tim Walz wanted to do? Tim Walz wanted to do the same thing. He said all the conservative speeches, you know, hate speeches, they need to curtail that. Well, First Amendment rights.
Well, it depends on the degree of the hate speech. I'm not defending what Tim Walz said. I don't remember him saying that. But Donald Trump is going to be the president of the United States. And there's already talk about positioning the FCC to retaliate against broadcasters where people disagreed with him.
And he's wrong doing that.
That's un-American.
I don't care if you give. But, Scoop, before I leave, I've got one thing to say. All these women who are shaving their heads because Trump lost, that's an insult to all the poor ladies who had breast cancer, who had to lost their hair, not because they wanted to, because they had to with their chemotherapy. Did these women think about saving that hair before it hit the ground and giving it to, I can't remember the name, but hair something where they save the hair and they make wigs for these ladies? I don't think they did. And that's an insult to all ladies, even men who had cancer, who lost their hair because something that they was wrong with them. These people had nothing wrong with them.
Yeah, I understand the point. I don't know. When you do things in a protest, I'm not sure that you're thinking about everybody who might benefit from your hair. You just do that in protest. Terry, I understand the point that you're making. People protest in different ways, and people have a right to protest, but you can also make the comment that it's an insult to people who have lost their hair because they're going through chemotherapy. All right, if you're on hold, hang on. We're coming back with more of your comments. The Oak and Hart Jewelers Talking Text Line is 504-260-1870. We're also celebrating Veterans Day, and we thank all the veterans for all that they have done and are doing for us. And today is a day to celebrate all veterans, not just those who were deployed, not just those who died serving our country, but all veterans. I personally thank all of you for what you did and for what you're doing, because you protect our right to freedom of speech. You protect what I do for a living, and I appreciate all of you, even if we don't agree politically. I'm Scoot, and we'll be back on WWL.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Today on Veterans Day, we just give a shout out to all the veterans, and we hopefully take time to think about what veterans have done and continue to do for us in this country. And I remind you that you can download the Odyssey app, A-U-D-A-C-Y, download the Odyssey app. It's free. And with the Odyssey app, you can rewind this show. If you're on or if you hear something that you want to hear again, you can rewind it. You can listen to the whole show again. You can listen to 1 hour or you can listen to just the highlights. And Ian Oak does a really great job posting all of that stuff on the Odyssey app. So check that out. Download the Odyssey app and just follow Scoot. And you can, again, listen to the highlights of our show. It's a really good part of the show. Coming up, we'll talk about the ratings for the cable news and networks. Let's get back to some of your calls. Let's go to Ronnie in Memphis. Ronnie, you're on WWL. Good afternoon.
Hey, Scoot.
Hey, Ronnie.
Hey, man, I love your show, Scoot. I'm okay. I got to give you praise, man. You about as fair. And I go all over the country, Scoot. I'm a trucker. I used to live in New Orleans because Katrina got me up there in Memphis now. But, Scoot, I want to talk about LSU just for a second, if you will.
Okay.
Scoot, look, man, I played ball. Actually, I played for St. Augustine back in David Otis Washington, back when we were powerful back in the day. But let me tell you something. What's wrong with LSU is two things. The SEC, Scoot, is the best football in the country when it comes to college. All those defenses are quick. They are quick as lightning. They're quick, they're fast, and strong. What's wrong with LSU? Now, I like Nuss. He's a good quarterback. But, Scoot, the problem is this. You've got to be two-tier now. And what Alabama did, again, I paid strong safety. The defensive coordinator, they know this guy is not a runner. But what they're doing, Scoot, you watch them, all of them. They're stacking that line of scrimmage. The linebackers are playing up the line because we know this guy cannot run. Well, this way, he hadn't shown nothing like most two-tier quarterbacks do.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you got a strong safety. He's playing over the top. Your corners are playing man, and they're bumping up the line of scrimmage. And what they're doing, they're stacking that line. They're coming from every angle at this guy. They know he's not mobile. And Scoot, unless LSU go back to the Jaden Daniels, no matter who he is, they'll never win another championship. Now, you look at all the teams in the top 10, Scoot, in the top 10, I promise you, the majority of them are going to have a two-tier quarterback that can ruin. And that's what happens. Mm-hmm. You keep the defense honest. The linebackers will not play at the line of scrimmage. But they miss all. See what happened. Again, Nuss is a good quarterback, Scoot. Check this. But what happened again? They missing on him. He panicking. I seen him several times he could run for 10 yards. Those linebackers hit like a mule. He don't want to get hit a couple of times. He got hit a couple of times when they played against Texas A&M. He said, oh, a little more of that. And you see what Texas A&M did? When they saw that drop by quarterback David back down, even the NFL getting away from the student.
Yep.
They're getting away from the pocket passer these days. They've gone to a mobile quarterback, and in the next, 10, 15 years, the majority of the quarterbacks in the NFL will be mobile quarterbacks. That's all I got to say, Scoot. Thank you, man.
Listen, Ronnie, you said a lot. Really great expertise, comment, and thanks for listening to the show in Memphis. Let's go to Ken in Metairie. Hey, Ken, welcome to our show.
Hey, Scoot, how you doing? I just wanted to clarify something. I think that people have a misconception about tariffs. Tariffs are generally targeted in nature to certain industries or certain manufacturers where, let's say, the Chinese, because of their slave labor, so to speak, are cutting into or taking away sales of that manufacturer. I got a good example for you. I got a buddy down in Grand Isle, and he's selling his shrimp boat. And I was like, well, why is it an accident? I cannot compete with the Chinese shrimp. So to me, the answer there would be put a tariff on the Chinese shrimp so that our shrimpers down here can make a living and sell shrimp at a reasonable profit.
Yeah, look,
it goes like that across the board. Now, that's number one. Number two is you don't actually have to put the tariff on. It's the threat of putting a tariff on that negotiates the fair trade. Like, he may never put one tariff on anything, but the Chinese will have to come to the negotiating table.
Well, let's see what happens. I hope you're right, Ken, because, you know, Steve Madden is now, they do a lot of production in China, and my Steve Madden shoes are already costing me a lot of money. I don't want them to cost any more, but the price, if there's tariffs on Steve Madden shoes, hey, they might go up. Let's go to Carlos. Carlos, you're on WWL.
Hey, Scoot, good afternoon. How are you, my friend?
I'm great.
This is Carlos.
Hey, Carlos.
Carlos, the one that I've spoken with you many a times at the French Quarter Fest.
I remember you.
You doing okay?
I'm doing good.
Great. I'm glad to hear that. I just want to just make a small comment in reference to my brothers and sisters in uniform. Wherever they are, wherever they may be, I just want to say thank you so very much. Remember that I served for 30 years with the United States Army plus two other branches of the federal government law enforcement. So, you know, thank you so very much for dedicating this program this afternoon to veterans. I think that that's very, very kind of you, and of course, of WWL. So go Army, go Marines, go Navy, go Coast Guard, and go Air Force. Fly high, Military Day, Veterans Day. God bless.
Thank you very much, and thank you for your service to our country. All right, we're going to get back to more of your calls and more of your text messages on the Scoot on the Air Rock Culture Calendar. On this day in 2008, she was 18 years old. Taylor Swift released her second album titled Fearless. This was one of the songs on it. It sold over 10 million copies in America alone. At the age of 18, Taylor Swift was becoming a superstar. And she was at that Kansas City game yesterday, and Travis Kelce set a record with the he passed Tony Gonzalez as the tight end with the most catches. Look, he's a great player, and I think he's inspired by her in the stands. So after the game, do they go to her hotel suite? Do they go back to his house? I mean, where do they go after the game?
IHOP,
right.
Just a guess.
All right, hang on. We're going to be right back on WWL. On the Scoot on the Air Rock Culture Calendar, it was on this day in 1972. Barry Oakley, the bass player for the Allman Brothers, died after his motorcycle crashed in Macon, Georgia. Barry was 24 years old. Interestingly, the accident happened three blocks from the same site where Dwayne Allman was fatally killed in a motorcycle crash a year earlier. How freaky is that? Man, those Allman Brothers just should not have gotten on motorcycles. All right, coming up, we will talk about the ratings for the cable news networks election night and after. And an NFL star was fined over $10,000 for wearing a MAGA hat during a post-game interview. Now, you might like the MAGA hat, but how do you feel about a player bringing politics into the NFL? I'm against it. I don't think there's anything wrong with this fine here. And he knew what the rules were. He could probably afford the fine, but you still shouldn't do that, right? We'll be right back.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
All right, it is a partly cloudy Monday afternoon. Had some rain come through here this morning, and I don't know, a few dark clouds off on the horizon, and then we keep hearing about this cool front that's going to come through here Wednesday, and I can't wait. Saints won yesterday. Darren Rizzi was magic. His emotion, the fact that we saw a different expression on the face of a coach was unseen in several years with the Saints. I mean, what a change. And this was the one thing that I always talked about with Dennis Allen, and I talked about how it just seemed like the players were not responding to him, and they weren't. That's why the Saints had to fire Dennis Allen. And Darren Rizzi seems to be doing the job. Well, look, this is one game, and you can't judge him by one game, but, you know, any team, whether it's a sales team or a football team, they need a leader. They need somebody to act like a leader. I don't understand. I mentioned this earlier. I don't understand what Mickey Loomis saw in Dennis Allen over Darren Rizzi to promote Dennis Allen. And as I have said, I think the Saints are run more like a family. They treat each other like family. And all that's nice. But that's, you know, that's part of the New Orleans mentality. You know, we're all family here. And, you know, I mean, that's cool. It's a nice thing, but it's not gonna put a winning football team on the field. And Dennis Allen seemed like the obvious choice. It's like, okay, well, let's grant him this. This is the easy decision. We'll elevate him from defensive coordinator to elevate somebody who is the special teams coordinator. Well, it wouldn't be protocol. And I guess the Saints were looking at protocol rather than just sheer emotion. So, look, I hope this charges up Mickey Loomis. I think it will. And I'm not saying that Mickey Loomis has not been actively involved in the team every step of the way, because I know he has been. But, you know, that decision really just delayed the growth of the Saints for a couple of years. And now it's going to be interesting to see what happens. You know, one player that I didn't mention yet is number 10, Marquez Valdes-Scantling. Number 10. That guy reminds me of the first time I saw Rashid Shaheed touch the ball. This guy came from Buffalo. He joined the team the day before the game. The day before the game. And he was phenomenal. So, you know, look, it was an exciting victory yesterday, and we beat the Falcons, and that feels really good. LSU, let's not even talk about that. What an embarrassment. Maybe bringing the live tiger in the cage into the stadium was some kind of a jinx. But a couple of people have called the show and talked about how Brian Kelly, you know, he wasn't really that great at Notre Dame, and he didn't play SEC teams on a regular basis at Notre Dame. And maybe he doesn't know how to coach a team against other SEC teams, because Alabama embarrassed Brian Kelly and the Tigers. And Nussmeier, it just seems like he's getting worse as the season goes on. I don't know what's going on there. I'm not a quarterback coach, but I can see that he was really sharp in the beginning of the season, and he seems to kind of be falling apart. That's not good news. And I was really pulling for him, because I you know, I feel like he, you know, kind of waited his turn and, you know, finally got his turn. All right, so the Saints win. That was great. This NFL player for the San Francisco 49ers, defensive star and defensive end, Nick Bosa, was fined $11,255 for wearing a MAGA hat on the field October 27th in a post-game interview. He kind of snuck up on an interview following the Sunday night football victory by the 49ers. The interview was with 49ers quarterback Brock Purdy. And he kind of snuck into the interview, and he was wearing a MAGA hat. And he might have been doing it just to promote Donald Trump. Well, the NFL doesn't allow that. That's against the rules. And for all of you who say you don't want performers to bring politics onto the stage, the NFL is entertainment. The field is the stage. And if you're against performers bringing politics into their performances, then you should also be against football players bringing politics into the game, even if it's the candidate that you're for. Because if you're for one candidate being exposed, then you're for the other candidate being exposed, unless you want to just admit, hey, I'm just a stupid hypocrite. I mean, you can always just admit that, but people don't want to admit that. So recognize that while you like the MAGA hat, it was wrong for him to do this, and you wouldn't have wanted him or somebody else to wear a Harris hat. So, yeah, I'm okay with it. And then the same player did the Trump dance as a touchdown celebration. That's not a dance that I would ever do in public if I didn't have to. So it's okay that he did that. I mean, I think it's, you know, that dance is kind of, I don't know, ambiguous in some ways. Okay, Trump did this kind of dance. It might be kind of tough to bust him on the dance thing. I'd let that go. But wearing the MAGA hat is deserving of being busted. Today is Veterans Day, and we are honoring a lot of veterans, and a lot of people want us to give shout-outs to veterans, and we did this earlier. And so let's go back to Ian, and we'll do some more shout-outs to veterans today as we just express our appreciation for all veterans, those who served, those who died, those who are serving today. Today is your day.
Yeah, and again, I said this last hour, but I just want to repeat it because it's important. The speed and the sort of brevity with which I'm going to read these is not you know, a reflection of their importance or the care that we have about them. It's just we don't have enough time to read all of these as they're written out.
Yeah, and so thank all of you for sending so many texts in to honor veterans, but we'll just do the best we can with these.
Kelly says, Happy Veterans Day, Dad. Thomas Dorgan, U.S. Navy, 2 tours in Vietnam. DR and Belchase and his wife are retired Army. Jesse Adolph Rosas, 1961 to 81, U.S. Navy, is now at rest at the Veterans Memorial Cemetery in Slidell. James Hand was a Marine medic in Vietnam. Thank you for your service to Brandon Myers, the son of one of our employees, Brandon Myers Sr. Here's a text that says, Captain John Brick, Mason, U.S. Navy. My three uncles were in World War I, Charles Mayfield, Curtis Crouch, and Herman Rogers. My other uncle, J.I. Mayfield, was in World War II. Michael Robbins, United States Air Force, 22 years, may he rest in peace, lost him in 2021. Pascal A. Giovingo, U.S. Navy, airplane mechanic, my grandfather and my hero. My father-in-law, Lieutenant Johnny Pitcher, Battle of Choisin Reservoir in Korea. I'm sorry, I don't totally know how to say that. Korean conflict. Our two veteran board members for Slidell Little Theater, Fred Martinez and Marcelo Barbaro. Shelly Rodriguez is a retired lieutenant commander. Let's see, my dad, Robert Tamplane Sr., submarine hunter, U.S. Navy. Billy Broyard is a U.S. Disabled Army veteran, Sergeant First Class, faithfully served for 24 years. Barry, the tractor driver here, he says he's got his two sons, Tyler Daigle in the U.S. Navy and Christian Quinones, Air Force. Let's see. Oh, yesterday was also the birthday of the United States Marine Corps. The Marines turned 249 yesterday. Thank you for that. That looks like it might be it for right now. And I'll just leave you with this one. We did talk a little bit about PTSD earlier today. This text simply says PTSD has been around forever, just by different names. We called it shell shock in World War I, battle fatigue in World War II. Treatment was given to these veterans, but certainly more are aware of this now because of the media and the continuing conflicts that we get engaged in.
Yeah, and that's a very positive thing because it is a real thing what veterans go through. So, you know, if we didn't mention your name, it doesn't mean you're not important. Every veteran is important. And as I have said, I really respect veterans because they fought for my right to be on the air. They fought for my right to be doing this for over 50 years now. And the freedoms that we have to express our opinions. And President-elect Donald Trump has said that he wants to retaliate against those with different opinions. That cannot happen. That cannot be allowed to happen in the United States of America. And nobody should support that. We have the freedom to say ugly things about each other. We have the freedom to express differing opinions. And no president should ever even border on using the government to suppress freedom of speech.
I got just one more. Sorry, this one got stuck in it. It's Frank in Long Island, who we know is a super listener and hears here every day, so I didn't want to skip this one. Frank says, my best friend and my father died in 1995. He was an army in World War II. On the front line when he came home, he opened a barber shop. A great man, Pop Fiorini. Okay, I think I got that right. Thanks, Frank.
Okay, on the Scoot on the Air Rock Culture calendar, on this day in 2004, Mohammed Somaya, the bodyguard for Liza Minnelli, sued Liza Minnelli for $100 million. He sued her for allegedly forcing him to have sex with her or he would be fired. So I guess he did it, and he sued her for $100 million. Now, I mean, she wasn't that bad looking. But I mean, Ian, how does that work? I mean, if somebody is forced to have sex with you, or you get fired. I mean, how does that start out? I mean, obviously, I mean, there's no foreplay. I mean, usually, you know, sex is, you know, two people coming together because they have emotions for each other. They love each other, or they're passionate toward each other, and they get involved in this. And it's a common bond. And so certain things lead to the ultimate act. But what if somebody said, no, you have to do this to me right now? How does that start?
What is your question? What are you asking me here? Like
the bodyguard is like forced to have sex with Liza Minnelli or be fired. I mean, how does that start? You know? Okay.
However, Liza Minnelli wants it to start, I would guess.
I guess. You will have foreplay with me.
I don't know. I wasn't there, man.
And it will be very sensitive, okay?
Oh, jeez.
All right. Boy, I know. She seems to have really been one of those kind of women. I'm Scoot. We'll be right back on WWL. All right. Green Day wanted to prove that they were punk and they weren't some pop band. So on this day in 1997 at Tower Records, they performed in New York City at Tower Records. Green Day trashed the whole place. They smashed their instruments. They poured beer on the CD racks and spray painted the windows. The label, however, paid $50,000 in damages, so everything was cool. But Green Day wanted to prove that they were punk. I'm Scoot on the
Legends.
Air. Legends in right is right. All right, MSNBC beat CNN election night, and that's the first time that has happened. Fox News won overall, but MSNBC saw their ratings plummet after election night. Fox News, this was on Thursday after the election, the average daily viewers on Fox News were 2.6 million. In the coveted 25 to 54 age category, there was only 375,000. So, you know, all of the cable news networks are older than 25-54. Because out of 2.6 million, only 375,000 were in the 25-54 age demographic. And you know teenagers aren't watching, so it's old people. Same thing with MSNBC. They had Thursday, they had 596,000 total viewers. Just over a half million viewers. Only 71,000 were in the 25-54 demo. CNN brought in only 419,000 total viewers, 91,000 viewers in the demo. So CNN does better in the younger demo than MSNBC, and that doesn't surprise me. Fox News was up 60% from last year at this time. MSNBC was down 23%. CNN was down 40%. All right, let's get to a few of your calls. Let's go to Chuck in New Orleans. Hey, Chuck, welcome to the show.
Hi.
Hello, Chuck.
Hello.
Hey, Chuck, welcome to the show. I don't mean to interrupt you.
What are you doing, dishes?
No, that's okay. I was at work, and I was just...
It's okay. I get it.
Okay, so, no, I just called on two things, like conspiracy theories, why they may have developed and got heightened, was during the Biden administration, they basically just disappeared on the American public. They never made any accountability for what they did. Joe Biden was constantly away from public scrutiny, you know, basically treated like a part-time job. So when things went wrong, things didn't get replied to, people start thinking, why not, and what might have happened when they don't get an explanation out of the government. And when they did, it was kind of filled with lies. You know, like Mayorkas would come out and say, the border's closed. Okay, well, everybody could see that it wasn't. Just explain your statement instead of just saying that and expecting people to believe it. Just like with the inflation, that it's, you know, not as bad as it seems, but people felt it every day.
I don't consider those to be conspiracy theories.
No, I didn't say that. That's why they came up with them when the government persistently, like Joe Biden, was basically hiding the whole term. He never really came out to the public very often. And when he did, it was very controlled.
Yeah, I mean, there were a lot of problems with the Biden administration. We talked about all of
those. That got people thinking, okay, well, they're not going to explain it to us. We're going to think about what we think it might have been, since I'm not getting the explanation out of them. You know, it's, for instance, just even when the stupid balloon was flying over the country, they just were acting like it wasn't happening almost. I mean, they tried to pretend like it was nothing. Don't worry about it. Look away. And that.
Well, that was in the beginning.
It was a Coke in the White House.
That was in the beginning. And then, I mean, it changed. They took it seriously, you know, after it had flown across the country.
Yeah, after like 90% of the country, they kind of said, okay, we can't deny this any longer. Not meaningless, but the Coke in the White House. They couldn't figure out anything, where it came from, anything. What if that would have been a chemical that's dangerous? And they wouldn't have been able to figure it out? That just seems incompetence.
Well, then, this was an area where there, you know, a lot of people have access to that area. So somebody could have brought in a bad chemical. Somebody,
yeah, but they should see it. But you're supposed to be protecting the White House.
I would have thought they would have known who did that.
They did know.
Oh, you think they did know?
Let anybody else know?
Well, maybe.
Well, I'd be very shameful if they didn't, because it was an anthrax.
So what's your,
I just, you know, placed it in there.
What's your point?
That was one thing, and then that kind of fuels conspiracy theories when people feel like they're not getting explanations.
Yeah, because the conspiracy theory gives them an explanation for something they can't explain. Yeah.
Well, that should be explained, but is it?
No.
And then with the insurrection, when Donald Trump got elected, he never got one day where the media and the government itself, the Democrats, were on him for every single thing he tried to do or did. All the media was against him constantly. So I think that amongst voters.
I mean, that happens, Chuck. I mean, look, you don't have to run for president. If you do, that's going to happen to you. I mean, stop playing the victim card. Republicans are supposed to be
a victim card.
You're playing the victim card. I mean, that's what you get. They did that to Obama. They did it to Trump.
Not to the extent that it happened to Trump.
Well, first of all, Donald Trump started the war with the media by dissing the media. So if you attack the media is going to attack back. Donald Trump asked for it, and he got the coverage. But don't be a snowflake. You know, don't be
a snowflake.
Don't play
dude.
A victim. It's like, oh, poor us. You know, we're being beaten up by the media.
Don't ignore what happened.
I didn't ignore what happened. I mean, I'm in the media.
What they did was nuts. What about, let's say, the Kavanaugh?
Chuck, you won the election. So what is your complaint? What's your bitch
here? I'm not talking
here?
About the election that just got happened.
Okay, so what's
the
problem?
Talking about how things developed to where they got to now. I'm not talking about he won.
Okay.
I don't even really care for him that much, but there was a change that needed to be made. The Democrats exposed themselves for what they were for 3.5 years, and that's why they got beat as bad as they did.
Yeah, they were beaten badly,
but
this business about, oh my God, we're victims now. I mean, there are so many examples of Republicans now being victims when Republicans have spent their lives criticizing anybody who played the victim card, and now they're victims. I'm reading a book called The Age of Grievance, and it is filled with examples of Republicans now. Oh, poor us. Oh, I can't wear a MAGA hat. I can't do this. I can't do that. I mean, stop it. In your opinion, if you're for a guy, and you can say you don't care about Trump, but you're here defending him, Donald Trump, anybody who runs for president is a target. If you attack the media, you're going to be a bigger target. Donald Trump made himself a bigger target. Some of the things that he said made him a target. Ridiculous stuff like eating pets, ridiculous things like that made him a target. Killing babies after they're born made him a target for the media. He asked for all of this negative attention. So don't play the victim card like, oh, the media, poor us. If the media was so powerful, if the liberal media was so ominous, how did he win?
The reason that Republicans will believe anything, and that's everything from the pet eating all the way to Comet pizza, the reason that they'll believe anything isn't because the Biden administration didn't put out a press release about what they were doing about the Chinese spy balloon. The reason they'll believe anything is that Fox News and conservative media for 30 years has been telling them that their paranoia is patriotism. Their distrust of everything that the government does, of everything that the media reports on, is virtuous. And you should build your life around that. And you should refuse to listen to anybody who doesn't tell you exactly what you want to hear.
But I mean, listen to yourselves. Listen to the whining. Oh, the media is beating up on us. Poor Trump. Look, it happened to Obama. It happens to presidents. In some ways, it happened to George W. Bush. It happened to Bill Clinton. It's gotten worse since the Bill Clinton days. But when you're on the campaign trail, just spewing out ridiculous fantasy stories, the media is going to pay attention to that because it is the media's responsibility to hold politicians accountable. And I'm going to suggest to you that Donald Trump asked for, begged for, if you will, the media coverage that he received. So don't whine about it. All right, if you want to join us, the Oaken Art Jewelers Talk and Text Line, 504-260-1870. We talk to Susan Calsill all the time. She's a good friend of mine and a friend of our show. Her brother, Paul, is 72 years old today. So happy birthday to Paul Calsill of the Calsills. And, man, I remember this was a huge hit back in the late 60s. It was a real hippie song. And today, you know, Susan has an incredible, incredible voice. And when she's out performing, if you see her performing somewhere, go see her. She really is incredible. I'm Scoot, and we will be right back on WWL. On the Scoot on the Air Rock Culture Calendar, on this day in 1971, Alice Cooper released this song, I'm 18. It was his first hit. And the song was about young people in America who could be drafted to fight in Vietnam, but were too young to drink or vote. You know, Alice has always been very politically savvy and has always had political messages and social messages in his music. He's a conservative, but I would say Alice is sort of a moderate conservative. Maybe he's kind of a modical radical. But Alice Cooper, yeah, first hit was a statement about being able to fight or being told you had to go fight, but too young to drink and vote. No, that's always an interesting topic. All right, I'm Scoot. Let's get to David in Covington. Hey, David, welcome to the show.
Hey, Scoot. First off, I want to thank the veterans out there.
Thank you. It's good.
I wouldn't be able to give you a call like I am.
I wouldn't be able to do what I do. So, yes, we thank veterans today on Veterans Day.
I just want to make a statement about what you said about you setting the record straight about Kamala being the border czar.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, there's been some congressional hearings. Well, actually, there was a couple of congressional hearings on the Department of Homeland Security. It's going to have to turn over unredacted copies of White House officials' correspondence with the Department of Homeland Security that refers to Kamala as the border czar.
Well, so, I mean, that doesn't. Well, first of all, there's never been a border czar position until now. Donald Trump has appointed somebody border czar. There have been drug czars, but there's never been a border. There's never been a border czar up to this point.
Talking about Kamala Harris.
Well, there's never been a border czar at the White House until
now. That is a border czar. She was appointed to take care of.
No,
border and
that's
immigration.
Not. I'm sorry, David. That's not true. It's what you've been told. It's what you've been told.
There's been congressional hearings that the Department of Homeland Security is going to have to turn over documents stating that they refer to Kamala Harris as the border czar.
Okay, that's fine.
Okay.
I'd like to see that, first of all. You want to send me the information? My email address is scoot@wwl.com.
Yeah, I realize that. But
send it to me. I'll take a look at it.
I feel that you're misleading
Well,
people,
no, I'm not
Scoot,
misleading people, David, and I'm not going to let you mislead people on this show. The fact is that there has been no border czar up until this point when Donald Trump has appointed somebody border czar. The media gave Kamala Harris the nickname Border Czar, and her job was to go and find out what would make people in other countries not want to come here, what could be done to improve things in other situations. I can't change the facts, David. Now, I can't allow you to just say something that you've been told that you believe, and if you want to send me the information about Congress, but even Congress can refer to her as the border czar, but Congress didn't appoint her as border czar, neither did Joe Biden. So I'm just going with the facts here.
There could be some middle-level employee at the Department of Homeland Security that referred to her incorrectly as a border czar in an email or something, and if that comes out in a congressional hearing, like, okay, That doesn't mean anything. That doesn't materially change the fact that that was not her job. And everyone that's paying attention knows it.
Yeah, I don't know why we're still arguing about this. Again, if you are locked in a conservative echo chamber, you're going to hear things on this show that you're not going to hear in the conservative echo chamber. Therefore, you're going to question whether or not I'm right. But I have never said a lie about Donald Trump or about Republicans on this show. And whenever this comes up, nobody can ever name a lie that I've ever told, which I find pretty fascinating. Let's go to Patrick in New Orleans. Patrick, you're on WWL.
How you doing, Stu?
Good.
Hey, some guy called earlier and he asked what freedoms have been lost. You might want to ask a few females out there what freedoms have been lost in the last 5 years.
Yeah.
And many of them are scared that other freedoms are going to be lost. And, you know, to...
All right, you're kind of breaking up there, Patrick. Hope we didn't lose you.
Yes. Hello? Okay.
Go ahead. Yeah, I've got you now.
What I was saying is, for those who didn't pay attention in civics course, when you have the House, the Senate, and the Supreme Court, you pretty much have all the power you need to do anything you want to take away anything you want.
Right.
And when you're dealing with someone like Donald Trump, who's unpredictable, yeah, you know what? Those MSNBC voters were throwing up. That's the reason why the viewership was down the next night.
Yeah.
So that kind of solves that. But going back to that guy, his grandfather fought at Omaha Beach. Why were those kids at Omaha Beach that walked out with bullets flying over their heads for the very freedoms that you and I enjoy? Yeah,
that's right.
Can I tell you, his grandfather's throwing up today on Veterans Day.
Yeah.
You know, it's absolutely insane that the very people who spend $15,000 to send their kids to Holy Cross voted for this man, who's broken every Ten Commandments, who is in absolutely no way anyone to look up, that you want your kids to look up to. And it's so aggravating.
Well, Patrick, we'll have a lot to talk about. I've got to get to a break here. Yeah, because this caller says that, and I want to see it, but because this caller says that there's a reference to Kamala Harris as border czar, does not mean she was ever appointed border czar. Does not mean that she sat behind a desk with the name on it, border czar. There has been no border czar until Donald Trump appointed one in the last day or so. There have been drug czars, but there's been no border czar. Not even Kamala Harris was the border czar. Believe what you want to believe. I deal with facts on this show. All right. On this day in 1978, Donna Summer's disco version of MacArthur Park was the number two. No, it went to number one. It was number two for Richard Harris in 1968. The disco version of this song was number one in America on this day in 1978. And I love this line in the song. Does this make sense to you? What? Someone left the cake out in the rain? I don't think I can take it. I don't think I'll make it. I'll never have that recipe again. What the hell was that about? I'm Scoot. It kicks up from here. I think at some point I may have been wearing polyester, dancing to this in Fat City. Not proud of that moment, but again, I tell you the truth about my life. I'm Scoot, and we'll be back on WWL. Mike Dettelier, Bobby Hebert, second guest show live from the Silver Slipper Casino coming up next at 6:30, the Coach's Show with The Riz. I want to thank our program director and brand manager, Diane Newman, assistant program director, brand manager, senior producer of our show, Ian Hoke, market manager, Dan Barron, news anchor, Chris Miller, and traffic with Joe Cardosi. And thank you for being part of the show, and a special thanks to all of you veterans, those who served and those who continue to serve. Thank you. Thank you for what you've done for our country. I'm Scoot. Love you, New Orleans.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.